The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this 18th day of June, 2021. You know what we do. You know what we do at the beginning of every show. We take a look at things going on in the news. I knock a couple of topics around in my head. I invite your calls. And it's always just a joyful opportunity to get caught up on the news of the day, news of the week, especially as the week winds down, et cetera, et cetera. Well, somebody's going to ride a little shotgun with me. Very special gentleman who we known for a long time. Can't wait to get him on here. So let's move through the turnstiles. Number one, it's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not.
So good. So good. I got you.
Wow! Oh, darling.
Number two on the checkbox.
I'll never do you no harm.
Our hour opening tune selected from Abbey Road, Little Oh Darlin' by the Beatles on Paul McCartney's 79th birthday. Sir Paul, doggone it, man.
Never do you no harm.
All right. Alrighty, moving through the necessities, and this always is one. We are so very, very glad to have the opportunity to, as we begin each day's show, to spend a little time focusing on what's important. So, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. And Lord, be with us as we chart a course out of this COVID nightmare. Help us to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives. Guide us to fight for our liberties within the law and by following your law. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. So lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our elections are reliable, our borders work, we fight for the unborn, where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. And as we face each day's problems, and they are many, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, in our communities, in our families. And if we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Among my many blessings in this gig, well, first, having this job has been just a wonderful, wonderful gift from God, but it's given me the opportunity to meet some really wonderful people. And some of them are not famous and some of them are. And this gentleman is about to do something else for the country, as if he hasn't done enough already. His service as Housing and Urban Development Secretary in the Trump administration, his presidential campaign, his mere existence in the public sphere has been an inspiration to so very, very many. It's a pleasure to welcome our friend, Dr. Ben Carson. Doc, how are you doing, sir?
Wonderful. It's always good to be with you,
Mark. It is wonderful to be with you. And now this additional layer of gratitude we have for you is you are the founder of something called the American Cornerstone Institute, AmericanCornerstone.org. I just mentioned to Dr. Carson, I've been paging through the Cornerstone Conversation, which are YouTube videos of Dr. Carson talking to various luminaries about various topics that are the stuff of our topic list every day. So what gave you the idea to start the Cornerstone Institute?
Well, as the previous administration was coming to an end, I thought, I can finally retire. I can play golf. I can just enjoy life.
Of course.
But then I realized I wouldn't be able to enjoy anything watching the nation go off a cliff. So several of us who were at HUD, some of the outstanding people who worked with me, came with me, and we formed the think tank. In the beginning, everybody was working with no salary whatsoever, but that's how dedicated they were. And it's really looking at those cornerstone principles that were vital to our nation rising from a bunch of ragtag militiamen to the pinnacle of the world. And those include our faith, which dictates how we interact with each other. And our Judeo-Christian faith tells us to love your fellow man, to love your neighbor. The new adage is to hate your neighbor, to cancel your neighbor if they don't agree with you. That's un-American. And then liberty. This was the beacon of liberty for the world. This was the destination spot for so many people. And now we're losing those liberties because a lot of people simply are not standing up for them. Freedom of speech, for instance. Some people say, we still have that. But just because the government isn't the one imposing it doesn't mean that you can't have your speech restricted. And it's being restricted by big tech and by media with the compliance of the government, which is just as bad. And then you have community. The sense of community is one of the key factors that built this country. The fact that we were able to work together, small communities and little places where you had people with different skills willing to work together to build that community and spread that community. And then the last one, life, as we've become callous about life from the womb to the tomb, we become more callous in our relationships toward each other. And then we're very concerned about what's happening with our children. We started something called the Little Patriots Program, where we teach the children the real history of our country. Warts and all, there's no place that's inhabited by human beings that hasn't had some problems, because human beings are inherently imperfect. That's why we need a savior, quite frankly. But, you know, to demonize the history of this amazing country makes absolutely no sense. And what will it do to our children? And think about this. You're a little kid. And first of all, if you go to school, you got to wear a mask. You don't learn to look at people's facial expressions, which is an important part of sociological development. Plus, you're told you may be carrying some deadly disease. You may infect your grandmother, who may die, and it's your fault. Well, grandmothers do have a tendency to die over the course of time. We don't want some kid thinking that it's their fault. That's ridiculous. And then you're told if you're white, you're evil. You and your ancestors have caused all of these problems. You're an oppressor, and you can't do anything about it. And if you're black, you're the oppressed, and you're a victim of the society. All of this while you're trying to develop your sense of who you are, your self-identification. And then if that's not bad enough, you may not be a girl, or you may not be a boy.
And then just as a little icing on the cake, the gender distinctions defined by science and created by God are suddenly up for grabs. Dr. Carson has, in that sublime answer, just about taken you through the Cornerstone conversations. Go to that page at AmericanCornerstone.org and see everything they're up to. It's Dr. Carson talking to a bunch of people about a bunch of things. So let's take a little walk through some of those in a little greater detail. One of my favorite governors, I'm a fan of our own governor here in Texas, Greg Abbott, but a little bit to the east in Florida, Ron DeSantis is fond of saying that this whole critical race theory thing, that CRT teaches kids to hate each other and to hate our country. I don't think that's an understatement.
That's not an understatement at all. And the fact of the matter is, if we were a country steeped in racism, why would people be forming caravans trying to get in here?
Tell me.
So they can be persecuted? Yeah. It makes no sense whatsoever. And what we have to recognize about slavery is that, you know, since there's been civilizations, there's been slavery. There's actually more slavery in the world today than there was in 1863 when the Emancipation Proclamation was put into place.
Practiced where?
And yeah, all over, particularly sexual slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that it's good, but the fact of the matter is, you know, what America engaged in was not unique. And it doesn't make us more evil than anybody else. It makes us like everybody else.
It
and
does.
We learn from it.
It makes us human. The journey we have traveled is an amazing one. And boy, that touches on something I talk about a lot. This is great. Dr. Ben Carson with us. And find out his latest exploits at American Cornerstone Institute. That's AmericanCornerstone.org. It seems that today, rather than taking a look at the... it started at poor Columbus, who in the 15th century did not display sufficiently woke sensibilities. And then you go to the mid-19th century, I mean, a time when slavery was something that was debatable. There were people who were against it, the abolitionists. They wound up, obviously, on the right side of history, as we say. But slavery was a largely human norm as late as the middle of the 19th century. And rather than celebrate the progress we've made from that through the Emancipation Proclamation, through Jim Crow, through the Voting Rights Act, to this enlightened day today, are we perfect? No. But racism, to be a racist, has become one of the most terrible things you can be attitudinally. That's evidence of our enlightened hearts. And yet people want to continue to say there's been no progress and that America should be viewed through the 1619 lens, the lens of racial grievance. That's not the way to make a happy society today.
Well, you bring up one very important point there, and that is that many on the left absolutely refuse to acknowledge the progress that has been made. You know, I grew up in Detroit and Boston, 50s and 60s. There was real racism going on at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at our society today, we have black CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, admirals, generals, you name it. A black vice president. We've had a black president.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen in a systemically racist country?
I know.
You know, it doesn't make any. Doesn't mean that we're perfect. Doesn't mean that we don't need to continue to make progress, and we will continue to do that. But to demonize our society on the basis of human flaws that exist in every society makes absolutely no difference, and which tells you that it's being done for a different purpose.
Exactly. And in fact, let me pivot to something that's a theory I'd love to run by you. And I think this is good news. And that is that so much of our conflict today really isn't about race at all. It's about politics. It's not even about sex at all. It's about politics. When Democrats say we need more women in public office, they're not talking about Nikki Haley or Sarah Palin. They're talking about liberal women. When people talk
exactly.
about we need more minority, you know, having a black president was a wonderful thing. That's a great, you know, thing to a ceiling to knock out. But when people talk about having a black president, they wouldn't have been as excited if it were Tim Scott or Alan West. They'd have hated that, proving that it's not really about race at all anymore. It's about politics. Am I close here?
You are exactly on target. And you know, one of the things that we at American Cornerstone are doing, trying to help the American people to realize that we are not each other's enemies. You know, when you look at the community cornerstone, the fact that we're able to work together as reasonable human beings, rather than getting in our respective corners and fighting each other, throwing hand grenades at each other. That's what those want who want to create chaos in our society in order to justify their need to fundamentally change our society. We don't need to fundamentally change our society. We need to improve upon our society. And we can do that if we relinquish the political aspects of everything. Look what's happened in our country because we've mixed politics with science and medicine around this whole COVID issue.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely absurd. And you notice that the government does not even want to acknowledge natural immunity, which is the reason that we're achieving herd immunity. There are tens of millions of people who have natural immunity. They've been exposed to the virus. Their body has reacted appropriately. They have antibodies. They are every bit as safe as anybody who's taken the vaccine, maybe even safer. And yet totally refuse to acknowledge it.
It is, in a few minutes back in the show opening prayer, when I talk about, you know, goodwill and giving people benefit of the doubt and, you know, disagreeing without being disagreeable, it seems like those have been lost, that we're always so much on guard, our hairs rising on the backs of our necks, looking for that next real or perceived slight or affront. Is that horse out of the barn? I know shouting segments on cable news and social media exacerbate all of it. What's the recipe? I mean, obviously there at American Cornerstone, you're trying to practice that right now, which is great, but just societally, what's the recipe for getting back to what, you know, I've always prized from you, the ability to approach with calm and logic and decency and goodwill these trying subjects of the day?
Well, I think we need to just sit down and talk about it. You know, how do we get to a point where that person who's lived across the street from you for 20 years peacefully is now your enemy because they have a different yard sign?
I know.
You know, it makes no sense. But what happens, let's bring it down to an individual level. People, you know, fall in love, they get married, you know, in the beginning, they can't do anything except think about each other. They want to call each other if they're away from each other just for a little while. And then before they get divorced, they don't talk to each other. The next thing you know, their spouse is the devil incarnate. You know, these are the same people. And the same thing happens at a societal level. When you stop talking and you just start throwing darts at each other, it exacerbates any relationships. And that's why one of the things that we are doing are having these roundtable discussions where we put the facts on the middle of the table. Invite people from different perspectives, but put the facts on the table and solve the issue based on the facts and not on ideology. And what you will generally find is that you can take somebody from the far left and you can take somebody from the far right. 90% of stuff they actually agree on. We take that 10% and we exacerbate it. And we make people feel that that is the most important factor. And we've allowed ourselves to be manipulated. And what we in America have to understand is we have an amazing country, the envy of the world it used to be. And we cannot be destroyed by China or Russia or Iran or North Korea, but we can be destroyed by us. And we have to stop falling for this. We have to stop allowing big tech and the media to define who we are. And to basically, they've forgotten, particularly the media, forgotten the fact that the reason that they're the only business protected by our Constitution is because they're supposed to disseminate unbiased information to the people so that they can decide what their will is. But how can they decide what their will is when they're getting distorted information, when they're getting filtered information that is filtered on the basis of ideology?
Dr. Ben Carson, he tried retirement. It didn't work. And we are all the better for it. The American Cornerstone Institute, AmericanCornerstone.org. I hope this means that we can have regular chats about things you guys are doing there at the Institute. It is wonderful to have you here in DFW for some of these roundtables. Everybody learn more at AmericanCornerstone.org. Best to you and Candy, and just God bless you, sir. Thank you. It's wonderful to start the show with you today.
Thank you so much, always, for being with you.
Dr. Ben Carson. Check him out. American Cornerstone Institute, AmericanCornerstone.org. Mark Davis, there you go, top that, 7:25. Little Mammoth WBH. He has gathered quite the musical talent around him. This is Mr. Ed. I'll throw you a couple more of those today. And I think you're going to get some Beatles and some McCartney because it is Paul McCartney's 79th birthday. Wow, Ringo is already 80, and he and Paul are the only Beatles still around. So we got a little bit of that, and I'll figure something out to offer up to Mr. Mike in our talk show segment here on Friday. So only thing between us and that is a little newscast action right now, 7:32. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon Griffin.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is sitting perfectly still.
Keeping perfectly still, isn't it? What's this?
Wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool.
I collect something, Mike.
What do you collect?
Beatles outtakes, old rehearsals, all these ancient tapes from the George Martin years, and a lot of them are available now just online, but this is from late 1966, McCartney doing a kind of a rehearsal take on one of, I think, one of the great Beatle records, Fool on the Hill. And on McCartney's 79th birthday, thought I'd roll that out for you. 79, man.
Wow. Man, looking good.
He sure is. And still making records. And they are good.
He's a great poster boy for never. You should always extol the virtues of plastic surgery. He's had some work done.
A little bit.
He's had a little bit of work done, but it took.
But he doesn't have the Kenny Rogers, I don't even look like me anymore.
No,
or the
no.
Melanie Griffith duck mouth. I don't know what happened there. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Father's Day. What are the big plans in the Davis household this weekend?
Well, I tell you what. This is kind of cool because this is the first weekend we've been able to get together with a lot of Ethan's friends, and so they're going to come over and do a big hangout on actually Saturday night, and then we peel them out of that Sunday around noon. We're just all going to get together. Regina's coming over, and Ethan, Lisa, and I are going to saddle up, and we're going to go do just a wonderful meal somewhere.
Nice.
I just want to get on out and just eat with a family in the newly opened environment because it's just it's a wonderful thing. So looking forward to this. Now, what kind of contact are you going to have with the boys over the weekend?
Yeah, because this is my holiday is waiting for the phone to ring and realizing they forgot Father's Day again. So that's kids aren't real good about stuff like this. This is not
well, they're
really...
all grown and they're busy and they're
doing things. Lives. The old man. Now listen, they won't forget the number when they need some money. When they need some bills paid, I'll bet you they'll remember when. Good thing bills aren't due on Father's Day. I hear from them then.
Every day is Father's Day.
Team Gallagher.
I know. Let me deliver testimony on what you have provided and what you, I mean, quite literally and figuratively as well to these young men in going through, in many cases, some rough patches. The guidance and the beacon of example that you have followed is inspiring and the kind of thing that fatherhood is about.
It's called holding on for dear life.
Keep your hands inside the vehicle.
The white knuckled ride. In fairness, one of them actually said, hey, Dad, where will you be? Will you be in Florida or New York?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign. Now, that means by mid-November, I'll get the package late, and it'll be, sorry, I was a little delayed. But at least, the text was enough for me to say, well, somebody remembered. So, you know, and I got to also reach out to my second oldest, who is a dad. So I'll give him a little Father's Day, ka-ching or something. I'll give him an Uber card or something. But, no. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and I hope everybody ordered a MyPillow. Promo code Mike G.
Exactly. It's a wonderful Father's Day gift. And speaking of celebrations, Lord knows we better do this or we are racists. And I don't mean to be glib. I'm sorry.
Happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth, which technically is tomorrow. And is it a big deal? Of course it is. Is it something that should be celebrated? Of course it should. Is it historically significant? Absolutely. Should it be observed in every state? Yes. Did we need another federal holiday? I don't know.
You know, the debate is interesting because the people taking the incoming now are Charlie Kirk. I think Candace Owens has spoken out pretty strongly. It's okay to have a debate about everything, and that's all right. I'm just in the mindset where we don't have to be angry about everything.
Yep,
you know,
well, I know, and it makes you want to make nice, and that's one.
I don't even know that it's about making nice. You don't need to argue about everything.
Correct.
I mean,
the other day said something inspiring. Well, if this is bipartisan, we should cleave to all the bipartisan moments we can. Yes.
Well, I'm not even about that so much. I'm just about. acknowledging, here's what Marco Rubio said in a tweet that I thought was really, really spot on.
Yes.
The abolition of slavery was the single biggest step ever taken in our nation's 245-year journey towards fully living up to the ideals of our founding. Mm-hmm. And Juneteenth is a celebration of one of the most important moments in the history of the greatest nation on earth. I think that's about right.
It absolutely is. And you know what? I think I need to open up my heart a little bit here and share something that I think will resonate, and I'm going to phrase it as carefully as I possibly can, in the following way. So, and God bless Charlie, and I don't know what Candace had to say about it, but I think there are some wrong ways to come at this where people go, "Ooh, you know, celebrating Juneteenth is divisive." No, it's not. Stop it. No, it's not. But here's the problem. I would probably feel better about this. About the whole thing, even the federal holiday, whatever. If I hadn't spent the last, you know, X number of years being scolded, excoriated, shamed, buried in stories that whiteness is white supremacy, anthem kneeling, LeBron James, critical race theory, all this race baiting garbage. I'll wrap up in the following way and hand it to you. This is what I talk about the erosion of goodwill. When a lot of these people come at me or come at you or come at anybody and say, "Hey, let's celebrate Juneteenth." In a vacuum, it's a magnificent idea. There was a local story about this woman who's like 100 years old. I mean, she knew slaves personally. To see her joy at the designation of this holiday touched my heart deeply. On the other side of the scale, however, is months and months and years of race baiting and race war and the mobilization of everything racial and the racialization of everything. And I am done. I have had it. I'm on a roll now. It goes to the extent of the following. I'm a huge fan of black culture, black shows, black music, black this, black that. I love all ethnicities. I love all people. What matters to me is it good? Is it funny? Is it of value? And I love things by people of color. That's absolutely fantastic. But if one more network comes in and says, "The show America needed by black people for black people." Really? 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 And it's like, oh, my God. And I believe that this is what is making race relations worse. I'm not going south on any type of racial enlightenment. It's not making me racist in any way, shape, or form. But I've had it up to my eyeballs with the racialization of everything. I'm done.
Well, it speaks right to the debate we're having, the important conversation we're having around critical race theory. There's a black father in Illinois this week who really lashed out and said, "If I'm so oppressed, how do I have two medical degrees?" You know?
Wow.
I mean, black dad, you know, awesome. Great, and we're going to play his rant.
Love
and
his
great speech. You know, to your point, I mean, this guy, this black father, his name is Ty Smith. He said, "When you talk about critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other, you're going to deliberately teach kids this white kid right here got it better than you because he's white.
I know.
You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have two medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? Two medical degrees. No mom, no dad in the house, worked my way through college, sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You're going to tell me somebody looks like y'all white folks kept me from doing it? You serious? Not one white person ever came to me," he said, "and said, well, son, you're never going to be able to get nowhere because, well, you know, the black people." Yeah. Just a real powerful message. Now, to your point also, this will fire you up even more. Axios, you know, this Mike Allen site that I look, it's an inside the beltway
kind of
establishment, but it's
they do good work.
They
good
do
work.
Sometimes.
Right.
But why it matters. Here's what he says about why Juneteenth matters.
Right.
"The holiday is a way future generations will remember America's year of racial reckoning."
Oh, well, there you are.
So there it is. So that's the point. That's your point.
That is perfect. This is not done in goodwill. This is not
right.
done in good faith. This isn't because we suddenly developed the a burst of needed awareness. America needed to be pummeled again. And we need to be shown as a racist hellhole again that is only savable by continual hectoring and lessons, even if they're in the form of inherently noble things like a Juneteenth holiday.
Which is Charlie Kirk's point. Charlie Kirk's point is any conservative who's on board with Juneteenth isn't paying attention to what the real agenda is.
Sounds like Mark Davis is. Except I'm gonna fall short. Words mean things. I'm going to fall short of suggesting that like everybody that voted for the Juneteenth thing has somehow lost sight of the battle before us.
I'm enormously
supportive of paying attention to things in history, especially things as significant as Juneteenth.
Sure.
Did we need another federal holiday? Probably not. But I'd say that about anything, about anybody. And in fact, did I say this with you or did I say it on my own show yesterday?
Okay, Mr. Biden, it was exactly.
What is the flavor of ice cream?
Get off my lawn.
It was my Dr. King point. It was with you, where I said, you know, we needed a holiday that celebrated America's racial enlightenment and our journey together. Well, apparently one wasn't enough. Now we need two. Maybe we'll need three or four before we're done.
Well, listen, on a lighter note, let me share with you a little journey about something we've debated for many months, the vaccine passport, and whether there's going to be a requirement to show your papers. I don't think there is. I lost my vaccine card, which is unbelievable. The fact that I was so worried about it, neurotic about it, there's some psychological story there that I somehow managed to lose the little piece of paper that I thought I had to have.
Your connection to life.
Oh, yeah. I won't be able to go anywhere without my card. You know who's got the card, who's got the access to the record, if you do lose your card? It's not a big deal, by the way.
Right.
Your doctor.
Of course.
Your doctor has all your, even if you don't get the shot through your doctor, he or she's got your medical records and the vaccination record. I got a card in 30 seconds.
They emailed it to me. When Lisa and I both went to get our vaccinations, the form I filled out, we gave our primary care physicians, and they slept it right over
there. But even if you don't fill anything out to your doctor, they have access to your state's vaccination records, and they can get it in 30 seconds. Anyway, my nurse, the lady that runs the office in the doctor's office I go to, she kind of laughed when I said, you know, she goes, nobody is going to require a vaccination. It's going to be voluntary across the board. I went to the McDonald's yesterday to get a Diet Coke.
Stop that.
Well, no, I had to. Because you know what?
Why?
No burgers. Listen, almost 60 pounds, the burger's not the problem.
Go ahead, of
the almost 60 pounds I've lost with my hernia drama, I've put almost 20 back on.
Oh,
I got to get back.
Dude.
I know. I got to get back on the wagon again. Right. So just a Diet Coke for me. But I started to take a picture. The McDonald's sign now says, if you're fully vaccinated, no masks are required inside this McDonald's. Well, they're not asking for any proof.
Which means they should just remove the mask requirement. I went in for my every about 3 days a week bagel at Einstein Brothers Bagels. The mask sign is down. I walked in, you know, whipped it off and said, freedom, love you guys.
Yeah.
And it was great. And so, yeah.
I think the fears have been, they were probably misplaced.
I think they were. Now, here's the thing, because you're right. On principle, it's still a totally worthy debate. And we've had a wonderful time with it. And you've done such a wonderful job. And I think we both have sort of, we've had this notion of the principle of whether a business has the right to require vaccines. I believe they do, et cetera, et cetera. We've always wrapped up those segments saying this might all be sort of moot because the notion of rampant waves of businesses requiring vaccines just isn't going to happen. Now, there are a couple of places. Well, I think cruise ships will. I think they have that right. And on Sunday at Madison Square Garden, Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, full attendance, Madison Square Garden, no masks, vaccines required.
Do you know that Springsteen is opening in a Broadway theater
in
about a week?
In a week.
End of this month. Yeah, next week.
Mm-hmm.
The first Broadway show to come back. But I don't know if vaccines are required or not. I don't know. But again, the Dave Grohl concert, vaccines required. How are you going to, what do you do? You going to show your card at the door?
That is a great point.
It's voluntary. It's on the honor system.
In that case, it's
the honor system. I guarantee you.
In that case, there is no requirement. I've said this a thousand times.
Okay, I'm telling you, there's not. There's just not. I mean, I guarantee you they're just expecting you to do that in good faith and say, I got my vaccine. I'm going to go see Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters.
Dude, here we go. You ready for this? Now, here's the thing. Madison Square Garden. Guests will need to be fully vaccinated for the Foo Fighters show at the Garden, meaning the event must be at least 14 days after your second dose of Pfizer or Moderna, or at least 14 days.
No, but prove it.
Okay.
There's no
I know. They can say this all day long.
Because nobody has a card.
They can say this all day long.
I mean, you could say, do they say you must show your card at the door?
Guests will have to provide proof of full vaccination along with an appropriate ID matching the name on your documentation.
Whoa. Yeah,
and you know
all
what?
Right. I take it back.
Which I respect. If you're going to have the requirement, have it. If you're not, don't. There is no honor system. There's no vaccinated people can. If you're not going to ask, there is no requirement. So just be comfortable with that. Live that life. Lift the requirement. Either have it or don't. So, but yeah,
well, it's
going to
be a mix. It's going to be all over because I can still go into McDonald's and it's on the honor system.
Of course.
And the Golden Arches trust me.
Madison Square Guard
may not trust me, but the Golden Arches.
Exactly. And they can have their rule and McDonald's
Ronald
can too.
McDonald trusts me.
Exactly. Mayor McCheese will not
That's
be
right. The Hamburglar trusts me.
Slapping the cuff.
It's America's happiest place. I love. Listen, McDonald's Golden Arches makes me smile.
That is right.
No wonder I'm fat.
But you know what?
Right.
Listen, I was in the drive-thru yesterday. We were on the way back for supper, picking something up for Ethan, and he's a big fan. He said, "I want the BTS meal."
What's the
BTS meal, like the Korean boy band. Yeah, and then I walk up there, and the BTS meal is a particular gathering of chicken nuggets with a particular type of sauce. And
at McDonald's,
there you go. Yeah.
Listen, remember Christmas Eve when I was a kid for many, many years. My single mom, after we lost my dad, my Christmas Eve tradition, she would take me to McDonald's on Salem Avenue in Dayton, Ohio, two Big Macs. That was my Christmas Eve meal.
Two Big Macs.
I think that's child abuse. All right. I blame her for my weight.
Best present ever. All right, man. Happy Father's Day, Mike.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy weekend. And we will talk to you on Monday. That's Mike Gallagher, ready to rock at 10 a.m. right here on 660 a.m. The Answer. Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters, and there goes my hero. Dave Grohl is a hero to some, and decidedly not to others. The Madison Square Garden concert Sunday night, no masks, 20,000 people, full house, sold out. Those people, Dave's a hero. Who's the child star guy? Ricky Schroeder? Dave Grohl, you son of a gun. You're discriminating, blah, 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 blah. The marketplace works, man. People who want to go to this concert will go. Those that don't have to. Boom, there you go. That's liberty all over. 660 AM, The Answer. Mark Davis. Stick around, much more to come.